Good morning. Well, it's homecoming weekend, homecoming chapel, and we welcome everyone, students, faculty, staff, visitors, honored guests. I'm Brian Martin Burkholder, campus pastor and director of campus ministries, caring for the chapel program, and it's a delight and honor to open homecoming with this chapel. Well, with the exception of the golf scramble that started at 7:30 already. Would ask you to pray with me a simple prayer as we invite God's presence. Let's pray. O God, before whose face we are not made righteous even by being right, free us from the need to justify ourselves by our own anxious striving, that we may be abandoned to faith in you alone. Through Jesus Christ, amen. Claire and Clara Schnupp share experiences from 47 years of full-time Christian mission service among Aboriginal people of the Canadian North, Alaska, and Greenland. Dr. Claire Schnupp is receiving the Distinguished Service Award during Homecoming and Family Weekend. He hails from Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, grew up on a farm, and quit school at grade 9. Later, Claire felt a call to missions and entered Eastern Mennonite College after completing a GED in 1955. Clara is of Russian Mennonite background. Ori Miller, the founder of Mennonite Central Committee, helped her parents and older siblings out of Russia in 1927. And Clara was born on a farm in Manitoba after her parents relocated there. Claire and Clara met at a short-term teaching assignment in northwestern Ontario during the summer of 1958, were married in 1959, and in October 2007, join us for University Chapel, and we are pleased to have you. God be with you, Claire and Clara Schnupp. Welcome. Thank you.
One life to live. Back home, my office in Dryden, Ontario, Canada, I have two models. One, I look where others have gone to see where I should go. The other one, do not follow where the trodden path leads. Rather, go where there is no path and leave a trail for others to follow. I see both of these statements to be true in my life. I lived for 48 years among the Aboriginal peoples of the far north as people live on this continent, and Alaska, Greenland, and Canada. In my new book I'm writing, Flying Canada's Northland and Beyond, there will be many stories of my flying experience over 47 years and 12,000 hours of flying. Vision. Any vision worth pursuing will demand sacrifice and risk. You'll be called upon to give up the actual good for the potential best. It will be necessary to leave what is comfortable and familiar, to embrace that which is uncomfortable and unfamiliar. Before I began college in this institution in 1955, it was clear to me that I wanted to spend my whole life as a missionary in some outermost part of the earth. I was open to Brazil, Canada, or wherever. So I have a few very unique memories from here while I was searching God's will as a place of service and for a life partner. While I was at EMC, the girls that I liked didn't like me. And the girls that liked me, I didn't like. So I went into Christian service single. Anyway. So there are some unique memories of seeking praying by God's will. I remember the prayer meetings with fellow students that were held in the upper room in the former administration building. And tears and laughter were mixed with prayer time. Then over the 3 years I spent at Gospel Hill on the weekends back in Hopkins Gap, that gave me a heart for the less fortunate. The people there became very special to me. Then there were the prayer walks up the hill, over the fence, into the meadow beyond, where I spent many precious hours alone with my Lord. Of course, I can't forget riding my friend's Harley Davidson motorcycle on some Saturday afternoons to clear my brain of the academics so I could hear the voice of God when I closed down the motorcycle motor. It was a big one, too. God did lead me into Canada. There, by divine appointment, God brought Clara into my life. She had the same callings and passions as I had. Later, God added a team of 50 people to work with us.
My father agreed that it was God's appointment that Claire and I start together.
And my father agreed, too.
And your father agreed, too, right.
Just want to be sure.
Yeah. I was teaching in the city of St. Catharines in Ontario. And when I left that to go into missions as Claire's wife and a partner in missions with no guaranteed income, it was a privilege, and it never felt like a sacrifice.
For me to give up a good-paying job with an enviable promotion in a large construction company was not felt as a sacrifice, but as a privilege. As a privilege to follow God's calling, even though it meant going back to school for 4 years before going into a lifetime of service.
I've often said that what we have been doing in the cold but beautiful Northland has never been felt as a sacrifice, because when one is doing the will of God, it feels like a privilege. It has been and is a divine adventure. And there's a biblical principle that has been very important to me even as a teen. When one is willing to lose his life, in all reality, one will save it. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds.
When you were 18 years old, you had a unique spiritual experience. Could you tell us about it?
Well, between the ages of 17 and 19, I felt an emptiness in my life, and I had no idea what was involved. I prayed a lot about it. I didn't know how God was going to meet that need. I knew he would. Even as an 18-year-old, I went to Urbana in 1953 by myself from Canada to the big youth mission conference, and Billy Graham was the main speaker, and I thought, this is where God's going to fill that need, and nothing happened. But later, in a small meeting of Christian school teachers in a dark, dingy basement, God showed me I was not trusting him completely, and the big sticker for me was I wasn't trusting him with the choice of a husband. I didn't mind being single because I had lots of ideas what I was going to do, but I was so afraid God was going to make me like a guy who was boring.
Am I boring?
No, I don't get bored, but in all the... But in all the travels that we do, I do get tired.
And sometimes I just sleep longer.
That's right. Sometimes 2 days at a time.
But do you find me boring?
No.
And I'm glad. In January 2007, we did a week of teaching in Quonock, Greenland. Quonock is the most northern municipality in the world. Three people had accepted Christ in August 2006 when a Christian couple visited Quonock in their fishing vessel. These new believers wanted discipleship training. We had those three believers plus 18 seekers in our class. A new fellowship had started, and a new church plant started.
15 years before that, a young man, very young man, felt so much evil inside himself. He told us this story. He decided to cut off his thumb, believing that as the blood would flow out, some of the evil would leave his body. But that did not release the pressure of evil, guilt, and shame. But when he suffered 15 more years until he met the Lord. And he accepted Christ. Then the pressure of guilt and shame left him, and his soul was flooded with peace. In January, we were in Connacht, and that's 24 hours of total darkness. Landing at 2:30 p.m. in total darkness was okay because as we landed, of course, we could see the airport lights and the town. But when we took off a week later and the town lights and the airport lights were behind us, we flew into total blackness. It was a few seconds of sheer terror for me that I've never experienced before.
But I love flying in darkness.
I know you do. And you like flying at night. You like flying over water. Those are some differences, but we do have some likes. I mean, many.
Now, are you implying that we do disagree sometimes?
Right.
And have some differences.
We do, but we have learned to respect our differences most of the time.
Oh, the script says all the time. What do you do with a wife that deviates from the script?
Live with her.
You used to be afraid of flying.
Big time.
What did you do to overcome that fear of flying?
It was, again, a God thing, and I took flying lessons to face my fear, and I did one solo, and from then on, I enjoyed flying more than driving.
And when you did a solo, I was so proud of you.
Yes, you were.
Our five daughters got their private pilot license because we flew a lot from 1975 until they got married. Was it hard for you traveling as a family, children?
Well, having five little girls and packing and into a little airplane, it was hard, and I think the girls would vouch that it wasn't the most fun, but it was special anyway. I'd rather do that than stay home alone with you out there.
And I was glad to have you with me. At age 60, some people ask us to retire and teach in some of our Mennonite Bible institutes. After time in prayer, we clearly said no to the Bible institutes and said yes to the Arctic. We would stay the course in the north.
And that was about 10 years ago. And it around that time, three Inuit men from northern Quebec made a grueling snowmobile trip over 3,000 miles to bring a consciousness to their people in Nunavut of the terrible toll that suicide was taking on their young people. That summer, after the men had made the trip in March, April, May, that summer Claire felt deeply, after reading this in the newspaper, that we needed to follow up that trek and do a report. We visited 13 communities, flying 4,000 miles, and interviewed 116 people. At the end of the trip, a native pastor, a northern pastor, asked if there was anything that could be done to bring lay counselors training to help with this deep pains of in the young people's hearts. So in the past 10 years since then, this satellite program of Providence Theological Seminary, we've been teaching the 10-course diploma program in biblical counseling, has exploded across the country, across the Arctic and Greenland, and I believe the best years still lie ahead.
I agree. Our vision in October 2007 is the same as in 1959 when we got married and started a ministry. In the first little yearbook as principal of Papa Little School, I had an open letter to the students that said, "Break free from paternalism and lead your own people." And this is happening nearly half a century later. At the end of the travelogue, you will see five dynamic Aboriginal leaders we mentored over the decades. Presently, Northern Youth Programs Board has a five-year plan to 2012 and a broad-stroke plan through 2017 and beyond. Visioneering has always been part of my life. The great challenge in life is crafting a meaningful, motivating, personal vision for one's life on earth and living it to the end.
And we want to finish well.
Yes. My mother taught me a Bible verse, "Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. To him be all the praise, glory, and adoration In closing, for you, for your one life to live, do not only ask what Jesus can do for you, but also ask, what more can you do for your Jesus? Even if I fail and crash, Jesus' Savior pilot me through this life and on into the eternities.
To God be the glory for this wonderful work. We've had a rich time together. Some of you have class within 10 minutes. If you need to go, please do. But if you can stay for Friday announcements, we welcome that. And if you can return for Sunday morning worship, we welcome that as well, to hear more from Claire and our other recipient of awards. Friday announcements.
And with a few alumni also participating, this concert will be both audibly and visually demonstrate for us the many styles represented as we celebrate our history in song and sound. Woo! Yeah, yeah, music! Woo! Admission is free and donations accepted for the Music Department Scholarship Fund. Following Saturday's concert, join fellow students, alumni, and friends at a reception in the Campus Center Greeting Hall to honor longtime professors Ken J. Nofziger and John Foss for their combined 62 years of service to EMU music faculty. 62 years, that's impressive. All right, I need some audience participation for this one. Give me a rat.
What?
Rat. Rat. Give me a rat.
Rat.
Give me an A.
A.
Give me a Tui.
Tui.
Ratatouille, woo, yeah. In this Pixar comedy, Remy loves fine French food, which is a problem since he happens to be a rat. He lives in an expensive French restaurant and desires to become a chef, despite the disapproval of his father and brother, who are happy eating garbage. He has adventures every day with the rat-despising staff that wants him gone in this riotous family film. And that movie is shown Friday night at 9 p.m. and Saturday at 1 p.m. in the Science Center. Herm, do you want to read the athletic events? Saturday at 12 o'clock as they compete to defend their undefeated ODAC record, followed by women's soccer at 3, men's soccer at 7, and women's volleyball at 8. Support your Royals. All right, there will be a documentary video marking EMU's 90th year shown in Strait Auditorium at 4 different times throughout the weekend. Sound boring? Think again! Produced by recent grads Tiffany Horst and Carrie Keggy, this 30-minute gem uses interviews with what you might consider to be EMU's old-timers, complemented by historic photos, audio recordings, and more to tell the EMU story in a new and unique way. Showings are this evening at 7 and Saturday at 11, 2:30, and 7. Does anyone need Pampered? No? No one out there needs Pampered? Well, BSU supports Pamper Yourself Day. You're cordially invited to the Black Student Union's traditional homecoming event. Pamper Yourself Day this Saturday, 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. in North Lawn Great Lounge. Come with your friends and family and get your hair braided or your tail. You can get massages, do your nails, get a fruit smoothie or milkshake, nibble on some baked goods or chomp, or just hang out and listen to music. All right, and Herm, why don't you read the last one for us? that said was that there's a dedication of a prayer labyrinth that's been created by Theological Exploration of Vocation by the Lilly Project Planning Team, carefully built by Kirk Shank Zare, 92, on the hillside just above the seminary building and the campus center. Join the dedication and celebration of this new facility for spiritual formation. Meet on the west hillside just north of the seminary building at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday for a simple service of dedication. And you don't need to go off campus to attend church this Sunday. At 10 a.m. in Lehman Auditorium, come join in a worship service of song and scripture. The theme will be Healing Streams of God's Love and Mercy. And there are many other homecoming events this weekend, so I encourage you to check EMU's website for other information on that. And you're dismissed. Go Royals!